several weeks, a couple months or so, I guess now, we've been taking some lessons from what's commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Our study tonight will be taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. There, Jesus said, "You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." The title of study tonight, Acting Like Our Father. As we read there, verse 45, he said, "That ye may be the children of your Father." That phrase refers back to what he has just said in regard to how we ought to live. When Jesus spoke about responding to evil, he gave two principles. Do not resist an evil person. That's back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, when he said that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Then he talked about responding to evil by doing good. As the last part of verse 39 said, you don't respond in kind. You offer him the other cheek also. In verse 40 through verse 42, "And if any man will sue thee at law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two." So you respond by doing more than what is asked. "Give to him that asketh, and for him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." I think we all realize and see that this is a very challenging task. Jesus put this task before his disciples. As we noted earlier, it is tempting, it's, I suppose, just human nature to respond to evil in kind, especially when mistreatment comes from an enemy. But as we read in the text of our lesson, we find Jesus teaching concerning the treatment of our enemies. Jesus tells us why we should act as described, that ye may be children of your Father. That's the reason we're to do what he suggests to us. Maybe I shouldn't use the word suggest. What he commands of us. When he says, "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be," or "so that ye may be, children of your Father." So, if we're going to act like our Father, this is the way we're going to have to respond to those who mistreat us. As we think about acting like our Father, I want to go back to the law of Moses and the traditional interpretation. We've been doing this with in the other lessons that we've done in regard to what Jesus said. The law did not say, "Hate your enemies." When Jesus made the statement here, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy," Jesus is talking about the traditional interpretation of the law, such as what the scribes and Pharisees would do. The Old Testament did, in fact, teach them to love their neighbor. In Leviticus 19 and verse 18, there in that text, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I am the Lord." Then they were taught to be kind or show kindness to their enemy. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, "If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hated thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him." He's talking about someone's enemy. Do good to your enemy. Proverbs 25, verse 21, if an enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So the Old Testament law taught them to love their neighbors as self. It also taught them to show kindness even to their enemies. The law did not say, hate your enemies. This was a traditional interpretation that the Jews had misapplied in regard to the law. The command to love your neighbor inferred one had the right to hate his enemy. It's the idea that they got from this when Jesus said, you have heard that it had been said. This is what they said. This phrase is not in Leviticus 19 at verse 18. There it says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. They were not to take vengeance on their people. This is a rabbinical inference which Jesus repudiates bluntly. The Talmud says nothing of love to enemies. It's according to Word Pictures in the New Testament, Volume 1 by Robertson. You see, the Levites, the rabbis corrupted this passage, Leviticus 19 to verse 18. This sums up the law of Israel by adding, and hate your enemy. They added words just like people add and subtract words from Scripture today. They added, hate your enemy. And so by thus tampering with Scripture, they intended to define their neighbor to include only Jews and to exclude Samaritans and Gentiles, as according to Believer Study Bible. So, after noting the difference between what the law actually said, what the law actually taught, and the wrong interpretation given by the scribes and Pharisees, I want to now consider what Jesus actually taught on this subject regarding how to treat our enemies. Jesus requires us to love our enemies, not hate them. Love involves showing active goodwill toward our neighbor. As we read in Matthew chapter 5, there at verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies. You go over to Luke chapter 6, there at verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke records almost the exact same wording that's recorded in Matthew. Instead of cursing them, we're to bless them. They may speak evil of us, but in response, we are to treat them kindly. Speak kindly of them. In fact, do good to those who hate us. They may ignore us. They may do evil things to us. Yet we're to treat them kindly in either case. Return good for evil. He says, pray for those who despitefully use you, persecute you. Not just pray about them, but pray for them. There's a great deal of difference in praying about them and praying for them. Pray for their well-being. Pray for their salvation. We want them to be saved. I'm not saying that this is easy, that Jesus commanded here, but it's what our Lord expects of us if we want to be like our Father. You see, this is an expansion of the principles that were talked about in verses 39 through 42. When he said, I say to you that you resist not evil. Resist not evil. What Jesus talks about is not seeking vengeance. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go two. Give to the person who asks of you. From him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. This is non-resistance of an evil person. Don't resist. Don't seek vengeance. Instead of resisting, seeking vengeance, we react by manifesting aggressive love. That's what Jesus is talking about there when Someone asked for your coat, give me a cloak also. Give them more than they ask for. Go further than they compel you to go. That's aggressive love. So why are we going to respond to our enemies in such a way? Well, I suggest to you that Jesus gives the answer. So I want us to think about reasons why we react in the way that Jesus tells us to react. And number one, first and foremost, is what he said in verse 45, that ye may be. Now what that says to us is that if we do not act this way, we are not children of our Father. When we react in the way that Jesus commands here, we show ourselves to be truly his children. Did you notice what he said? Our Father gives material blessings to the evil and to the good. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God doesn't differentiate between those that are good and those that are evil in regard to how he blesses them. It don't rain on one side of the road on this farmer's crop because he's a good person. He's a Christian. And so it rains on his crop and don't rain on the one on the other side of the road who's an infidel. God doesn't do that. In the material realm, there are prosperous people who are some of the most ungodly and wicked people that you can find. God allows them to prosper. You see, God is kind to those who are unthankful and evil. Notice Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Here's the reason. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We don't stop and think sometimes about that idea. God is kind to evil people. Well, you say, well, I thought God hated evil. He does. He hates sin. But he doesn't hate the sinner. He doesn't hate people. He hates their actions. And there's a vast difference in the two. As you continue in verse 36, he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. If I want to be like my Father, I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to be kind, whether they're my enemy or they're my brother or sister in Christ. I'm not going to differentiate based on what they are. That doesn't mean I love what they do. It doesn't mean I approve of what they do. John, in fact, teaches that we ought not to approve of it. If we bid them Godspeed, we're partakers of their evil deeds. So we can't wish them well in what they're doing, but we can do good to them. We can be kind to them, hoping that we get an opportunity to teach them, to bring them to Christ. In Romans chapter 5, there, beginning in verse 8, Paul said, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now think about where we would be if God didn't love us. If Jesus had not demonstrated his love for us and died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When did Jesus die for us? When we were good or when we were evil? He bestowed this blessing on us while we were sinners. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation or the covering for our sins. You see, he loved us before we loved him. If I want to be like my Father,
I'm going to love people when they are unlovable.
That's what God did for me. That's what he did for you.
And so we must imitate our Father. 1 John 4 and verse 11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us,
notice that word so.
If God so loved us, well, how did he love us? While we were sinners. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, Paul said, Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You say, well, he's talking to Christians there. Well, yes, Paul's writing to the church there at Ephesus, the brethren. But we've already established the fact, Scripture teaches us to love even our enemies. And so as Paul gives instruction here to these Christians, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes we have what we call falling out. We get mad at each other. We hold grudges against one another. Things of that nature. And sometimes refuse to work them out. That's what Paul's teaching here. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, this is our title here again. In verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Do I want to be like my Father? Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We love like Christ loved us, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is different from tax collectors. These were despised by the Jews because they made themselves rich by collecting taxes from their fellow men for the Roman government. But did you notice in the context, even tax collectors would love those who loved them, who loved them, and they would greet cordially those who greeted them. The King James Version uses the word publican. That's simply tax collector. Sometimes it was a Jew appointed by the Roman government. Matthew was a publican, one of the apostles, a tax collector. Now, this indicated that he was not like the normal tax collector. Some of them made themselves rich. The Roman government allowed them to do that, to take more taxes than what people actually owed. But Jesus said, this class of people love the ones that love them. They do good to the ones that do good to them. We're no different. If our love is limited to our brethren or friends. Listen again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Tax collectors do that. If you don't do any more than that, you're not any better than they were. And they were looked down on, they were despised by the Jews. He said, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect. People say, well, you know, we can't be perfect. Well, you can in the sense that the word perfect is used here. The word perfect means brought to completion, full grown, lacking nothing. Can we be full grown? Well, the Hebrew writer talks about some that should have been. They were not. They had had time to be teachers. When for the time you ought to be teachers. You need one teach you again, which be the first principles of God, and become such as have meat of milk and not of strong meat. The strong meat belongs to them that are full age. That's maturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It takes work to become full grown, mature. Able to deal with problems as they come in life. Sometimes we used to tell our kids, why don't you grow up? Well, what do we mean by that? We weren't necessarily talking about their physical stature. We're talking about them being the kind of people that they ought to be. That's what we need to do. We need to grow up. We need to be brought to completion, to be full grown. In the context here, it has reference to showing love and mercy. Remember verse 48? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, what did he do? We just talked about how he sends the same blessings on the evil and on the just. He doesn't differentiate in regard to physical blessings. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Sends his sunshine on the just and the unjust. Here, this idea of being perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect is in reference to showing love and mercy. This verse 48 is parallel to what Luke records in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful, or full of mercy. And mercy doesn't demand that we like our enemy. It doesn't demand that we like what they do. That scripture teaches that we all not. But it does demand that we show mercy, love, consideration, kindness. When we display love and mercy to our enemies, that's acting full grown. That's being complete. In demonstrating love, just like our Father, when he shows kindness to evil and unthankful men. Easy? Absolutely not. It's like every fiber of our being, studying and meditating on God's Word, putting into practice in our lives in order to be what the Lord expects us to be. To act like the Lord expects us to act. I can look back in my life, and I'm sure you can yours too. And I know there are instances where I didn't even come close to a 42nd cousin to being like my Father. I guess I was like my Father in that instance when Jesus said, you're like your father, the devil. When we don't act like the Lord wants us to act, who are we acting like? We're acting like our enemy, the devil. He's taking control of our life. In order for us to be in control, we have to be full grown. We have to exercise our senses to discern or to differentiate between good and evil. Acting like our Father. That's what Jesus is talking about here. If we want to be sons of our Father in heaven, then we have to be perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. We're perfect, that doesn't necessarily mean sinless. We're human beings, and we sin. Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus said, there is none righteous, no, not one. So I'm not going to be able to live without sin. But I can take advantage of the sacrifice that my Father has provided for me that will get rid of my sins. He is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He gave his life to save everybody. That's how much God loved his creation. So, it is imperative that we be influenced more by the teachings and example of the Son of God than by the attitude and example of what Jesus referred to as the publicans or the tax collectors. I got to love more than just my close friends and associates, especially my brothers and sisters in Christ. I got to love my enemies. How do I love my enemies? Do I walk up there and pat them on the back and go, oh, how much I really like what you're doing and I really love you because of what you are? No, that's not loving them. That's not the way God loved us. He loved us by providing a way that we can become perfect as he's perfect. We can have our sins forgiven. We love our enemies by doing what's best for them, what's in their best interest. What would be more in their best interest than doing what we can to teach them the truth of God's Word, to demonstrate to them the kind of attitude and action that our Father has demonstrated toward us. Again, I ask, is it easy? Absolutely not. But with God's help, we can. So are we acting like our Father who is in heaven? Or do we emulate the most carnal people around us? Our hope is that the sayings of the Lord in this sermon will provoke us to consider the proper way to respond to our enemies and to any who might abuse us. Remember, at the end of this lesson, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. It's quite an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? It's not what everybody in the world thinks. It's not how most people would say we ought to act. But if I want to be like my Father, what I got to do? Acting like my Father. What it is simply a way of life. It's a way of life that demonstrates to a lost and dying world that I'm different. And the reason I'm different is because I'm trying to be like my Father. I thought about this, started to begin my lesson with this antidote. I'll end it with this antidote. When I started to say a little fellow, but I never was a little fellow. When I was younger, and we were working in the field, plowing, I'd try to step in my Father's footsteps. He was 6'2", and I'm a little boy. But I'm trying to walk in his footsteps. I can't do it. Hard as I might try, I can't stretch from one to the other. But as I grew, as I matured more, I was able more to walk in my Father's footsteps. To walk where he walked, put my feet where he put his feet. And hopefully to emulate the attitude that he had toward other people. He was a very kind and gentle man. That would do good for anybody that would allow him to do good for them. That's being like our Father. Now, am I being like my Father? That's a question that each of us have to ask ourselves to see if in fact we are children of God. If we belong to him. The only way I can belong to him is by a spiritual birth. The Jews became Jews by a physical birth. They were born physically into the family, but that's not true today. Jesus said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So I can't be a child of my Father without undergoing a spiritual birth. That spiritual birth involves believing Jesus to be the Son of God, just as Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We have to be willing to turn from our sins. That's repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It involves a public confession of our faith, just as the Ethiopian did. When he said, "See, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's a public confession. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 said, "What the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That means in the direction of salvation. You don't have salvation at that point. But then when you are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, then the Lord adds you to his church. That is the group of the saved. You receive salvation. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is salvation. You become a child of God. Then you can act like your Father because you're his child. Now, if in the past you become his child, and at some point you have stopped acting like his child, you need to repent. Ask God forgiveness as you humbly turn from your sins, confess them, and ask his forgiveness. So if you're in this audience, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.